Okay. Today's daf is Chaf Gimel. Today's daf is Chaf Gimel. We're on Chaf Beis Amud Beis. A little while, we have a little more to go on Chaf Beis Amud Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Avrumi and Chavi Khan, Lila Nishmas Avrumi's father, Moshe Eliezer ben Binyamin HaKohen, and it's sponsored anonymously for Moel ben Chanasara. We're up to discussing the different Averos that David HaMelech may or may not have done. So the Gemara had said that he only did two. Only did two. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. Va'amar Rav, we are on 15 lines from the bottom. Va'amar Rav, David kibel Lashon Hara. But David accepted Lashon Hara. We had this Gemara in Shabbos. Accepted Lashon Hara. When did he do that? After he was a king, after Shaul died, he met one of Shaul's Avadim named Tivya. I believe that was his name. And he told David that there's someone around, that Shaul still had a descendant named Mephibosheth. And then, later on, he told David that Mephibosheth was rebelling against him. After Avshalom tried to rebel against David, then Mephibosheth joined Avshalom. David believed that. So he accepted Lashon Hara and Aveira. So the Gemara says, no, Kishmuel, like the Omer who said, lo kibel David Lashon Hara, there's not Machlokas over there, whether or not he accepted Lashon Hara. So everyone agrees the story happened. So what does Shmuel say? Shmuel says that David had other independent evidence to support the fact that what was told to him was true. The Chavetz Chaim calls this Devarim Hanikarim. If you have other indications that what's being told to you, you suspected it anyway. You knew it was true anyway. And then someone tells it to you, so in certain circumstances, that might not be classified as classic Lashon Hara. And that's what happened over here. Because the way Mephibosheth is dressed, the way he spoke to David, David sensed a little bit of rebellion inside him. And then when he told him, the slave told him, by the way, David, I knew that already. I sensed it already. So that's not really classic Lashon Hara. And therefore the person who said that David only did only two held like Shmuel. That David really did not speak Lashon Hara. No, that was someone else. I don't know. Ularav nami d'amar David kibel Lashon Hara, and even according to Rav, who says David did do Lashon Hara, David did accept Lashon Hara, hurufrumine, he was paid back for that. He got a punishment for that. How do you know? D'amar Rav Yehuda amar Rav, b'shal sha'amal David l'mefibosheth, at the time David told Mephibosheth, amarti ata v'tziva tichlaku es hasadeh, you and Tziva divide up the field, meaning David wasn't sure now what to believe. Who's telling him the truth? And Mephibosheth, of course, denied it all. No, I wasn't rebelling against you. Chas v'shalom. So David didn't know what to do. So he divided it in half. Which means he at least believed what Tziva told him, according to Rav, this is Rav speaking, that there was Lashon Hara here. So he told him, you both split it in half. I don't know who to give it to. So split it. So at the time David said that, and that was the result of Lashon Hara, Yatza Baskal v'amalo, Rechavam v'yiravam yichluku es ma'amalchus. The kingdom is going to be divided, and the 10 tribes are going to become their own nation. So David got punished for that. So, fine, a little bit more on Shaul. It said, Ben Shana Shaul b'malcho. Shaul was 1 year old when he became king. 1 year old? Amar Huna, no, Ben Shana. He was like a 1 year old. Shlotom tam chet. They hadn't tasted chet. Meaning, Shaul had no sins. Amazing. Shaul had no sins. He was like a 1 year old. He was pure like a 1 year old. So, Masnif Lor of Nachar Bayitzchad, Ve'ema Kiben Shana Shemaluch Lach Petit, Ubitsoa. Maybe he's a 1 year old who's all full of dirty diaper and dirt and right? Maybe he's like that. Meaning that the whole thing can be interpreted as a gnai to Shaul. Right? 1 year olds aren't always clean. They're very frequently not, they certainly don't care about how they smell and things like that. So maybe that's what it means. So because he said something so hurtful toward Shaul. So, Achivu Leila Rav Nachman Tziyuta Bechelme, a demon, a Malach Chabala appeared to him in a dream. Like to Rav Nachman, to frighten Rav Nachman because he had said that against Shaul. Omar, he said, Na'anisi Lechem Atzmos Shaul Ben Kish. I spoke bad against the bones, meaning against the person of Shaul Ben Kish. I spoke negatively about him. Still, Hadar Chaz Tziyuta Bechelme. He still saw such a Malach in his dream. Honestly, he said, "Nanisi lachem atzmos Shaul ben Kish melech Yisrael." I spoke bad about Shaul ben Kish, the king of Israel. From this Gemara, the Rabbeinu Tam says that what does it mean? Shaul ben Kish melech Yisrael, which makes it sound like Kish was the melech Yisrael. It should say Shaul melech Yisrael, Ben Kish. But it doesn't say it that way. It says first his name, then his title. Based on this Gemara, there have been a time holds when you go to a wedding and anytime you sign your name, you sign Yitzchak. You don't sign Yitzchak Aid Ben Avram. You sign Yitzchak Ben Avram Aid. First your name, then your title. Just like over here. It's amazing how he gets that halacha from left field from this. Where are we? Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Mipnei ma lo nimshecha malchus beis Shaul. Why didn't the malchus of Shaul last? Why didn't it continue? Very difficult answer. Mipnei shelo hayabo shom dofi. Because Shaul had no skeletons in his closet. He was all pure. He was pure. His lineage was pure. There's nothing wrong with Shaul's family. Nothing wrong with his yichus. Nothing wrong with anybody. The Amar of Yonasan Mishum Rishum ben Yehud Tzadok. Ein ma'amidim parnas al hatzibor. We don't appoint a leader over the community. El imkein kupa shal shrutzim tuluyah bo me'achorov. Unless he's got a box full of shrutzim in the back. Why? She'im tzuach daito olav. If he's going to become very haughty. Omer lo chazor la'acharecha. Go look in the closet. Go see what's in there. You don't have such great yichus, right? So therefore what? Since Shaul didn't have that problem, he lost it? No, it's just an allegory. It's just an idea. But that's why the Torah Mincha says that's why Moshe had a lisp. Moshe shouldn't get haughty. He had a lisp. He had a speech impediment. That's one of the reasons, one of those general approaches why Mashiach's lineage is so tainted. If it goes back to, right, who's the maternal ancestors of Mashiach, of Yehuda, is Rus. Where did Rus come from? She came from Moav. Where did Moav come from? That was a relationship between Lot and one of his daughters. It's very tainted. Yehuda and Tamar is a very tainted story over there. Even Rus and Boaz has a little bit of a unseemly type of relationship. It's all to drive home the point that the kings, Yehuda, Mashiach, should never think to themselves, look how great we are. Because you look in your path, it's not so 100%. The Yichus is very, very questionable. It's exactly that point. So Shaul, for some reason, lost the Melucha because he lacked this issue. But we're going to see over here, Amar Yehuda Amar Rab, Nema Nena Shaul. Why was Shaul punished? We said already why he was punished. Because he didn't kill a god. But what led him down this road? What led him down that road? So the Gemara answers, Rashi explains, what does this question mean? It means, because when he started off his kingdom, he didn't have any respect for himself. He was mochel on his kavod. Therefore, v'gil al atzmo she'enu kedai lemelech. He revealed it's not kedai. A king can't do that. So he revealed it's not kedai. That's what this question means. So, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, ma'amen ha'shol, mipnei she'mochel al kavodo, because he was mochel on his kavod. He didn't stand up for the kavod of the kingship. Why? Because it says over there, Ubnei Blial Amru, and the riffraff, the Blial people, the unfine people said, Ma Yoshien Zeh, this person is going to be our savior. The Zuhu, they humiliated him, the people. Vulhavilo Mincha, they didn't bring presents. Vayi Kamacharesh, and he was quiet. Shaul was silent. Didn't say a word. He didn't say, hey. The Uksivit says, Vayal Nachash Ha'amoni, and Nachash Ha'amoni started a battle. Vayichar al yovesh agilad, and the pasuk continues, and Shaul destroyed them all. And Shaul never said, you criticized me, you humiliated me, I just defeated them for you. Shaul didn't say a word. Which means he was mochel on his kavod. That led him to have the disaster with Agad. Because he didn't stand up for his kavod. And now, the Amar of Yochanan Mishum of Shum ben Yehud Tzadok, kol tam chacham she'ena no kiv v'noter, any tam chacham who doesn't have revenge and grudges, doesn't bear grudges, kinachash, like a snake, ain't a Talmud Chacham. He's not a Talmud Chacham. What does that mean? And then the Gemara is going to say, what do you mean? You're not allowed to take revenge, it's an issur in the Torah. So what does it mean? So a lot of Achora have the same approach. I saw it in the from the Rabbi Yonatan Eifshitz. What he says is, the Gemara had said earlier, I forgot, maybe it was in Shabbos, that when a snake bites, the snake gets no benefit out of it. Unlike other animals, they get meat, they get killed. The snake has no benefit out of it. As a matter of fact, many times the snake dies. So the biting serves no purpose. It serves a purpose, but the snake gets no hana out of it. The snake gets no benefit out of it. Whatever it does, right? the poison goes in. The snake doesn't enjoy that. Say to over here. That's why it says kinachash. When a tamachacham, what does it mean? A tamachacham has to take revenge. That means for the sake of the Torah. Not, and he doesn't get personal benefit out of this. He can't personally gain by standing on principle. He has to stand up for the principles of the Torah. He has to stand up for the principles of justice and correctness and all those things. That's why it's. What do you mean a snake? A snake has such revenge? No, because a snake doesn't get any hana out of it. Doesn't get any personal benefit. So too, a tamachacham, whatever he's standing up on these principles, can't have. It can't be for any personal reasons. It's only for the reasons of the Torah. So now the Gemara is going to have a discussion. Everybody knows this Gemara. But it says, Lasikom v'lo sitar. You're not allowed to take revenge, and you're not allowed to bear a grudge. And so the Gemara answers, Hahu b'mamon hu diksiv. No, those two averos only refer to money issues. But here it's not money. Here it's pride. Then you're allowed to take revenge. Right? But if it's regarding money, you're not allowed to. Like we all know. We'll speak about that in a minute. The Tanya, Eizen Hunakiba, what's revenge? The Eizen Hunatira, and what is bearing a grudge? Nikima, Amrulo, what's revenge? Amrulo, Hashileni Maglach, lend me your sickle. Amrulo Lav, he says no. So the Chavetz Chaim said on this Chasuk, that's not an Avera. You don't have to lend your items. If the reason you're not lending it is because you don't trust the guy, or he's prone to break it, or all these kinds of reasons, you don't have to lend it. So that's not an Avera. Yes, if you're lending it because you don't like him, that's an Avera. That's Lo Sis Nesachicha Bilvavecha. If you're not lending it to him for no reason, that's a problem. But we're assuming no. So the Avera didn't kick in yet. No one did anything wrong yet. Can I borrow your sickle? No, I'm sorry. That's fine. Next. Lamachar, next day, Amalo, the other one now says back to the one who... Now, let's say Reuven asked Shimon, can I borrow your sickle? Shimon said no. And the next day, Shimon comes to Reuven, Amalo Hashileni Kardumacha, can I borrow your hatchet? And Reuven says, Amalo, no, Eini Mishalicha, I'm not going to lend it to you. Kedarach Shalohu Shal Tani, the way you didn't lend it to me. Absolutely not. Zuhi Nakima, that is Nakima. That's taking revenge. You didn't do it for me, I'm not doing it for you. What's bearing a grudge? So Amalo, Reuven says, Hashileni kardumecha. Lend me your hatchet. The Amale lo. He says no. Lamacha, the next day, Shimon comes to Reuven and says, Amale, Hashileni kalkucha. Can I buy your shirt? Amalo says, hey, let go take my shirt. Any kamosa, I'm not like you. Shalom, Hashitani, that I didn't lend it to you. I'm not like you. Zu, alright, I'm better than you. Zuhi Natira, that is bearing a grudge. So many gearses don't have the shirt in there. They keep it with a sickle and a hatchet. But why does it reverse? In the first case, the first person that comes to borrow is a sickle, and in the second case, the first thing that he asks for is the hatchet. So why does it reverse? It's not consistent. Right? You ever hear the question? The question bothered me for many years until I found it last night. The Malbim asked this question. The Malbim said you have to read it inside because it's very complicated. He said this one story. He says as follows. L'chein tziyayu. Sh'ruven yesh lo magel. Ruven has a magel. V'shimon yesh lo kardom. Shimon has a kardom. V'shimon bikesh m'ruven ha-magel. Shimon asks for the magel. V'lo ha-shilu. Doesn't lend it to him. Lamacha, the next day, Amalo Reuven l'Shimon. Reuven says back to Shimon, Hashileni kardumecha, can I borrow your hatchet? V'Shimon lo hashaelu derech nekama. Shimon says no, taking revenge. Not you didn't do it for me, I'm not doing it for you. Shimon over alo sakum. So Shimon's over on the avera of alo sakum. Then achakach bo Shimon shenis. Shimon comes again, second time. Ubikish me Reuven as hamagel. Again he says, can I borrow the magel? That's why it reverses. Now he's first. Asr lo Shimon lintar, Shimon can't bear a grudge. Afal pi shezeu neged Shimon shekvar nakam imenu. Even though it's against the same guy who took revenge against him yesterday. It's an added chiddush. Even if someone took revenge against you, you still can't bear the grudge. V'kolshkein sha'arz alinkam afilu mehanokim. Certainly to take revenge against the guy who took revenge against you. That you're certainly not allowed to do. Both of them are asr. That's why the items reverse. The Ritva says the items reverse because the Gemara always does that. The Gemara always throws in more items. But the Malam's giving a reason. No, he's giving a whole much more life to this whole story. Okay, so the Gemara asks, "V'tzayra d'gufa lo?" And what do you mean? And if it's not regarding money, because here it's only money. It's items. Can I borrow your hatchet? But if it's not regard, if it's regarding personal issues, emotions, lo, then not. V'hatanya hane'olvin de'enon olbin. If somebody bears suffering, we're talking about now, insults. Right, all these slights. If you bear those, the einon olbin, you don't dish them back. You suffer them. You let them go. Then shomin cherpasan, you listen to the cherpa, to the abuse. The einon meshivin, you don't say anything back. Osin meyava, you do it out of love. The smekin be yisurin, you're happy with these yisurin. Aleinu kasav omer, regarding you, the pasuk says, v'ohavav kitzeis hashemesh, like the loved ones that the sun shines forth. Bigvuraso, in strength. Meaning, if you bear all this, it's unbelievable. So what do you mean? So what do you mean that regarding personal issues, you're allowed to bear the grudge? Because you're not supposed to. So the Gemara answers, no. The la'olam dinakit le'belibe. No, you're allowed to harbor it in your heart. You can't act. And if someone else, Rashi says, if someone else acts on your behalf, that's okay. So the Gemara says, that's true. Omar Rava, call over al midosa, whoever conquers his personality and doesn't dish it back, and not happy when someone else dishes it back for him. Ma'avirin lo al kol pishav, he gets forgiven and all for all his sins. So what do you mean? You're going to let someone else do it for you, right? He's supposed to be ma'avir al midosa. So the Gemara answers, no. The mefayis olei u'mefayis. No, that's talking about where the guy came for forgiveness. The guy asked for forgiveness, and you appeased him. He comes to appease you, and you accept it. So then you can't have any more grudges. But if not, he's still allowed to. So the Gemara, that's how the Gemara ends off. Now, the Chavetz Chaim, in his introduction, discusses the two mitzvahs of lo tzikar v'lo tzitar, and he says that there's a machlokes we've shown him whether you're allowed to have revenge or bear a grudge if the issue is not related to money. Meaning, if someone insults you or physically hurts you, can you take it? Can you give it back? Can he take revenge? The Gemara says here it's only talking about money. So he gets out of that issue. He says, no, those Rishonim didn't have this line, or they held this as only for Tamidei Chachamim, but for regular people, no. So can you do it? Can you dish it back if it's not regarding money? So he says, Bishas Maisa, you're certainly allowed to. Anyway, it's a Machlokas Rishonim. Between the Urim and the Rambam and the Chinuch, some say you're not allowed to. That's still part of lo tzikar v'lo tzitar. And some say, no, it's not included. It's not included. Only regarding money, you're not allowed to bear a grudge. But if it's not regarding money, if it's about emotions, you're allowed to. But the Chavetz Chaim says, if it's at the moment, someone slaps you, someone insults you, you're certainly, at the moment, allowed to give it back. He says, of course, if you don't, then you might as well be dosef, it's amidus chassidus, unbelievable. But mikir adin, you're allowed to. But later on, you sit back, and I can't believe what that guy said to me. You know, I'm gonna say back to him. So is that mutter? So it's a machlokes we showed him, and he says suffer to rice al chumra, and you're not allowed to. We don't know who the pasuk like, and therefore you're not allowed to. The Arche Tzaddikim has an unbelievable line in the Shah Busha. This Gemara appears in Shabbos, and in Shabbos we mentioned the three. Why it says three times your shomer v'cherpasan ve'enem eshivin osim meyava, right? Three different stages. So we explained last time in Shabbos, last summer, that the Chavetz Chaim says, because there's three types of people, there's three types of ways you can be sovel, there's three types of ways you can be passive and let the abuse fly at you. So that's why there are three different categories over here. It's in Shair Tzvuna in the 8th part, we said it last year. But over here, the Arche Tzaddikim, at the end of the Shair HaBusha, he says v'cheyidaktik b'chol inyan shelo tiga tagibusha lechaver, we talked about it. Don't let it get to you. Don't be the one. Don't, you know, if someone's gonna bother you and insult you, don't give it back. Right? Don't answer back. It says mida kineged mida. What's the, how's that? Yan asher shama cherpaso. You heard all the insults. The nehefku panav liye rakon, and you let your face turn green. Right, you sat there and let your face turn red. Well, he embarrassed you. You didn't answer him back. You didn't dish it back. Yavhikam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hu Yosir Me'or HaShemesh. Your face will shine greater than the light of the sun. That's why the pasuk is brought here for the Shemesh. Mida keneged mida. Your face changes color for Ra, Hashem's going to give it back to you. Shenemar Ukvod Hashem Olayech Zarach. Your face will shine forth. And with one more piece over here, the Ramosha Cardovero says, he says, if you think about it, he says that what's going on in Shemayim, when this happened, what's the reason why you're insulted like that? What's the reason why it's dished out to you? So obviously, on some level, you deserve the punishment. It's very embarrassing when you're embarrassed in public. You deserve that punishment. So he says, if you think about it, that of all the punishments you can get in the world, whether it's parnasa, health, other tzaras, other tragedies, if you think about it, this is the best one. Right? Okay. So for a few minutes, you were embarrassed. It doesn't affect you. It doesn't bother you. This is the one that says if you do that, what does the Gemara say? Mavir lo akol pishav. You get forgiven for all your sins. Right? You get forgiven for all your sins. Out of all the sufferings to want, the best one. It's the least long lasting. Right? It's an unbelievable line. You wouldn't ever think of it that way. It's the least bothersome. Doesn't bother your money, doesn't bother your pockets, doesn't bother your kids, doesn't bother nothing. Okay, so for a few minutes it was embarrassing. So he says that's why it's not easy, right? The first everyone's got a short fuse, but if you can let it slide, the benefits are certainly worth it. Okay, next. Now the Mishnah had said umahein motziin achas v'shtayim. What would they stick out? One or two. They would stick out one or two fingers, right? That's what we said when they were doing the lottery. They would stick out one or two fingers. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. If they could stick out two, so why does it mention one? They could certainly stick out one. What, they have to stick out two? Certainly not. So why does the Mishnah mention one or two? So the Gemara answers, Amar Chizda lo kasha, kan bebari, kan bechola. We're talking about, it depends. Are we talking about someone who's sick or someone who's healthy? Why? So Rashi explains, because someone who's sick, sometimes it's difficult to stay with one finger out because you're weak. And it's hard to keep one finger, but two, there's more, the pressure is off the finger, and it's easier to keep two out. You should only stick out one finger when you're doing the lottery, not two. But when do we say that? That's if you're healthy. But if someone's not healthy, they're sick, then I feel even they can even stick out two. And now, Rashi says the yechidin is somebody who's sick, and he's sitting off to the side. So even though he's not in the count, nevertheless, motziin shtayim ve'ein monin lehem ela achas. You count two, he can put out two, but you only count it as one. So the machlokas, Rabbi Noah, the machlokas here is, so when I told you yesterday, so does this mean only the yechidin? Or everybody? That when you stick out two, you count as one. That's what we said yesterday, Rashi Rambam. Rashi says you count them as one person. No matter how many fingers they stick out. Rambam seems to say, no, you count each finger separately. So but the Rambam would agree that if you're yechidim, if you're sitting off to the side because you're not feeling well, then you count as one. The ein monin lehem ela achas, but only counts as one. So Gemara says, ein monin lehem ela achas, it only counts as one. For Atanya, ein motziin, you shouldn't stick out lo shalosh, not three. For lo godel, not your thumb. Why? We said yesterday, ribnei haramayim, because it's very easy to cheat. If you see it's coming towards you, you could use your thumb as a finger, throw the count off, and you'll get it. Or you can stick out three, you'll get it. So there's much more potential for trickery if you stick out three, you stick out a thumb. And v'im hotzi shlish, if you stick out three, monin lo, they're counted. Okay, so you shouldn't do it. But if you did it, they're counted. Godel, we stick out the thumb, ain't monin lo, don't count that. V'lo od el shalokim in ha-mamuna ha-pakia. Not only that, the guy gets whipped from the guy in charge of the whipping for sticking out a thumb. What do you see from here? The kasha is that the mission of this brisa says if you stick out three, we count it. So isn't that mean that you count them as separately? So the Gemara says, no, my monin lo nami achas. You only count them as one. So if you're yechidim, you count it as one. And then we said that the machlokas with Rashi and the Rambam is whether this is only by the yechidim or even by everybody in the circle. My pekia, what does this mean? The guy in charge of the whipping. So Amarav Madra. So my Madra, what's that? Amar Papa Matrika Detai. It's the whip of the Arabs. When they get the horses to move, they had these special whips. And the pasuk reshe, the head of the whip was split. to provide more pain when it was hit. Because if it's split up, so you hit more than one time. Well, a lot of little strands there that are hitting. Amar Abaya said, Eresh Haviamina, I originally thought, Hadidnan, that which we learned in Shkalim not that long ago, Didnan Ben Biboy, this person Ben Biboy, Mamuna al Hapakia, he was in charge of the Pakia. So Amina, I thought, what is that? It's Pasilta, is the wicks. That meant wicks. Kiditnan, like we learned in Sukkah. Mibavloi michnesei hakahanim, from the worn out pants of the kahanim, umahem enehen, and from their belts, mahu hayu mafkin, what would they do? They would make wicks out of it, uvehen hayu madlikin, and that's what they would use to light up on the simchas pesach shoeva. They'd use the worn out clothes as wicks. But kivan deshamanu lahadatanya, since I heard what we said over here, vlo o el shalokim in hamamuna bepekia, that they would not only would they not want you to stick out a thumb, but that would be subject you to whipping. Then I knew, Amina my pekiah, nada. I knew, you know what the word pekiahs mean? It means strips, which is what you whip somebody with. Fine. Next. Maisa, shahayu, shnei and shavin v'rotin olam bekevesh. That they were two that were running up the ramp, and what happened? One pushed the other one off, he fell down and broke his leg. Listen to this story. This is an unbelievable story. Tana Rabbanan, Maisa, there was a story. B'shnei kahanim, with two kahanim, shahayu shavin, they were equal. V'rotin, they were running, but all in Bekevish. They got up to the top of the ramp. Kadam echad mehem l'soch arba amas shel chavero. One of them was winning. So what happened? The loser, Natal Sakin, took out a knife, v'taka lo belibo, and stabbed the winner. You hear this? Killed the winner. Well, he didn't kill him yet. He stabbed him. Amad Rabbi Tzadok al malos ha'ulam. Rabbi Tzadok stood up on the steps of the ulam. What's the steps of the ulam? Rashi says something amazing. Bahara bayis, Rashi says Bahara bayis, ulamos harbe bonasham hordus. Many, many rooms hordus built. Kimosha kasav b'sefer Yosef ben Gurion. Like it says in the sefer of Yosef ben Gurion. You know who that is? That's Josephus. Right? Rashi quotes Josephus. I was wondering, what language did Rashi read Josephus? Was it in Hebrew? I can't imagine. I was wondering, what language was Josephus written in that Rashi read it? I don't know. Anyway, so he was standing on one of the. He was standing somewhere in the Beit HaMikdash, Reb Tzadik. They said Reb Tzadik was a Kohen. So he was in the Azara also. Could have been in the Azara also. V'omer, and he said, Achenu b'nei Yisrael. Shimu, listen to this. Harehu Omer, it says, Ki yimatzechol ol ba'adama. If you find an unknown corpse, an anonymous corpse on the ground, V'yatza ziknecha v'shavtecha, and the elders of the city have to go out, they have to perform Egla Rufa. So Anu, us, Amila Havi Egla Rufa. Who's going to bring the Egla Rufa now? Al Ha'ir or Al Ha'azaros? Who's in charge now? The Ir, the city of Yerushalayim, or the Beit HaMikdash? So the Gemara is going to say in a few minutes that this wasn't even a serious thing, because first of all, we know who it was. We know who the killer was. We saw that happen. Everyone saw it happen. Also, there's no such thing as Egla Rufa in the city of Yerushalayim. He was just saying it to be emotional. The Gemara is going to say to get people to cry. So the whole, not really true, halachically. He was just saying it to get people emotional. Go, kalam, bebchia. Everybody started to cry out and cry. But, listen to this. But, aviv shel tinok, the father of this child, or he's called a tinok. So the machlok is what that means, because they're not allowed to do avodah if they're under 20. So what do you mean, the tinok? Anyway, the father came, the father of this victim came. Umatsu kashum afarfer. And he saw that he was thrashing about, like he was dying, but he was still alive. Omer, he said, harehu kaparashem. He should be our kapara. His death should be a kapara. Vadayin b'ni mefarfer. My son is still dying. He's dying now. He's thrashing. V'lo nitma asakin. So take the knife out so it shouldn't become tameh. Because if he dies, then the mace will touch the knife. If you take it out beforehand, then he's not a mace yet. So the knife won't become tameh. This is what's on his mind. V'lamdecha, this teaches you, Shekasha aleihem tyrus kelim yoter mishvichas damim. They were more concerned with the tyra of kelim than they were about murder, even his own son. It's amazing. We'll have her. What?
I think we mentioned it before. This
mice. This mice came up before.
Oh, it did.
Okay.
Right.
So we're gonna have. Right, so we're going to have Reb Chaim Shulevitz has something to say on this. But on number 8, it comes back. V'cheinu Omer, and that's why it says in the Pasuk, this Pasuk is talking about the first Beis HaMikdash. But in this story, to the second Beis HaMikdash, but you see the same idea. V'gam dam noki shafach Menashe, this is Menashe, the king from the first Beis HaMikdash, he spilled so much innocent blood, har b'ma'od ad asher milyas Yerushalayim peh lepeh. The blood was flowing from one end of the city to the other end of the city. So what do you see? That they were very, very uninterested in murder. It was not a focus on them. So now the Gemara says, Hai Maisa Kadim. Which story happened first? Did the murder happen first, or did the broken leg happen first? So the Gemara says, "I lema the shvichas damim happened first. Hashta a shvichas dam lo tekinu paisa." What do you mean? So this happened. This murder happened. They didn't establish the lottery. The anish baradlo tekinu. What? And for the broken leg, they did establish the lottery. That doesn't make any sense. Ella, rather what? Dinishbo Radlo Kadim, that the broken leg happened first, and then they established the lottery. So if that's true, the Kibbutz Tekinu Paisa, Arba Amos Maya Vitayu. So then, what was the four Amos doing here? There were no more four Amos. There was no more running. The whole thing was a lottery. So had the murder happen? Ella, you know what Gemara says? Ella Olam the Shvichas Dan Kadim. Really, the murder happened first. But what happened? Umei Karas suffered. They thought, Akwe Ba'almahu. It's a crazy story. We don't have to take any action because one of the kinds of murderer. We don't have to make a pious for that. That's such a crazy thing. It's such a far-fetched one-time event. It's a shocker. I'm not going to make a pious for that. But kibun dechazu. But then they saw later on. No, filu memela asil de sakana. No, it's more of common. Guy broke his leg now. Guy pushed him off. I didn't murder him. But they saw that it was much. It wasn't just a one-shot event. This was a problem. Therefore, Tekinu Rabbanan Paisa, the Rabbanan made a pious. Okay? So Ben Yehuda says, why do we care to know which story happened first? We've had this question a few times. Like it's old news. So Ben Yehuda says something amazing, and he leaves the Pitzarach Ian. He says, we know that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of the big three. The second was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. The Gemara there said that Sinas Chinam is connected to the big three. So he says, that's what the Gemara wants to know. If they treated murder lightly, then how is that a raya that Sinas Chinam is connected to the big three? They didn't treat the big three with any respect. How is that a raya? Right? But if they treated murder, the Gemara is going to have that discussion. Murder was treated normal, and they were crazy machmir about tumah, then it makes sense to say that Sinas Chinam is connected to the big three. Because murder was held in high regard. Then the other is going to say we're going to conclude on Amud Beis that they didn't treat murder. That it's not that they were crazy machmir about tumah. They were normal machmir about tumah, but they belittled murder. It meant nothing to them. It was so rampant. So if that's true, how do you know that Tzinas Chinam is connected to the big three? And he doesn't answer. He loses the Tzarach Ian. So how do you answer that? So who's to say Tzinas Chinam is connected to the big three? They didn't care about the big three. They didn't care about murder. They lose the Pitzarach Ian. Very interesting. Anyway, so we said before, Amar Tzadik, Rav Tzadik got up, Al-Malasi Ulam, on the steps of the Ulam, Vamar, he said, Achenu B'nei Yisrael, Shimu, Harei, Hu Omer, Ki Yimatze Cholol, B'Adama, right, there's a corpse over here, Anan Amila Havi. Who's bringing the Egla Rufa? Al-Ir El-Al Azaros. The Gemara asks, Yushalayim bas asri egla rufi? Is Yushalayim able to have an egla rufa? Certainly not. D'atanya, asar devarim nemru bi Yushalayim. Yushalayim, 10 things are said about it, the Baba Kama. V'zuachas, this is one of, Zuachas mehen. Einem evia egla rufa. Can't bring an egla rufa. Why? Rashi says, because the pasuk egla rufa mentions Yerusha, and Yushalayim has no Yerusha. It was given to everybody. No one shaven has bailus over Yushalayim. Va'od also, it says in the pasuk over there by Egla Rufa, Lo na da mihi ko. We don't know who the murderer is. We don't know who it is. That has to be anonymous murder. V'ksiv. V'ha na da mihi ko. We know who it was. It was one of the Kahanim. We know who it is. So the whole thing, Ella, you're right. Ella kadei lahar bas bibchia. It was just done to increase the crying, just to get more emotional of this tragedy. So Ba'av of Shaltinok, the father of this baby came, of this child came, Umatzu Kishum of Farfar. And he saw, well, we're repeating the story, and he saw that he was thrashing, Amar, and he said, Already Kaparaschem, he should be a Kapara, his death should be a Kapara, Vadayin Bni Kayim, and my son is still alive, Landacha Shakasha Alehim to Hiris Caleb, Yotzim Shvichas Damim. That they cared more about Hiris Caleb than Shvichas Damim. So Chaim Shmulevit says, basically, like, oh, so one second. Ibai Lahu. So the question is, Shvichat Dam Hu Dazol? Did they treat Shvichat Damim with such cheapness? It was so cheap murder because it was so rampant. But the high risk Kalim could Kaima Kaima, and they treated the high risk Kalim normal. Oh, and that's why the father said that. Oh, Dilbo, or maybe no. Shvichas Dom kid the Kaima Kaima. Shvichas Dom was held in normal regard. Aval Tahiris Kalim who the Chamimi. They were so machmir about Tumah and Tahira that the father said that. And we're going to answer the, well, you'll see, Toshma. Midikonasiv Le Talmuda, since they brought a pasuk from Menashe, which had nothing to do with this story, because that was hundreds of years earlier, and by the first Beis HaMikdash. But nevertheless, the Gemara brings up a pasuk, Vigam Dam Naki Shafach Menashe, that the blood flowed when Menashe was a murderer. Shma Mina, Shvichas Dam Hu Dizol. That they treated Shvichas Damim very cheap. Well, it didn't bother them. The Utairis Kalim Kit the Kaima Kaima. And Tairis Kalim was held in normal regard. And that's why the Ben Yehuda says, Tzarachian. How is there a raya that Sinas Chinim is connected to the big three? They didn't have any regard for the big three. Doesn't answer it. Otherwise, who cares what they felt 2,000 years ago about murder? How's it relevant? So the Chaim Shalom Levitt says, these two tzedadim of this question are he says, Shemayim Va'aretz. They're as far apart as Shemayim Va'aretz. Why? Either you have a father who's an achzar, he's cruel, his son's dying and all he cares about is the knife, or you have a father who, his son's dying, what's he supposed to do? You can't save him. Nothing's going to save the guy. So he was able to gather his strength and realize, at least we'll save the knife. At least we can do that much. At least we can do that little. So there's two totally different ways to look at it. His point is, don't always look at something in a vacuum. Don't always look at it in a narrow. He says that somebody does the ma'isa of Zimri, right? They sin, and they want the schar of Pinchas. They want to, right? They're great. They think, that's what he says. He says they do the aveira, but they want the schar. He says not everything is always so black and white. Not everything is so black and white. The story is very, very difficult. And don't always look at everything in a vacuum. Maybe the father was doing the best he could. He saw that it could go both ways. Either he's a tremendous cruel person, very callous, or no. Listen, the son's dying anyway. What can he do? So like a Musar, don't always look at something so in a vacuum, so narrow-minded. Look at the bigger picture. You might have a different understanding of what was going on. Okay. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Upashat v'lavash begadim acherim. This is talking about, the Mishnah mentioned Trumas Hadeshen every day. Every day there was a mitzvah to take a little bit of ashes off the Mizbeach and put it on the side of the Mizbeach. There was also a similar type of mitzvah, which was removing of the Deshen when it got too large up there. When the pile of ashes became too large, they would take it, it was affecting the karbonos, they would remove it. The Rambam holds that this was done also every day. That's a machlokas, that's the Rambam Shita. But Pashtus, it wasn't done every day. The taking off a little bit of the ashes was a ritual. It was done every day for whatever reason. That's a mitzvah in the Torah. Removing the ashes, the large amount, that was done whenever it had to be done. I don't know, however often it happened. So that's what we're discussing now. The Pasuk says, V'pashat begadav, he would take off his regular clothes, the Kohen, V'lavash begadim acherim, he would wear other clothes. Right? So what does that mean? Hovahotzi et hadeshen, and it says he would remove the deshen. Shema'uni, I would think to say, kiderech yom kippurim, just like on Yom Kippur, sheposheit big day kodesh, v'lovish big day chol. Just like on Yom Kippur, when the kogadol would change from big day zahav to big day lavan, so too, in a similar type of understanding, I would think that when it says it's a kohen put on regular other clothes, it means regular clothes. Big day chol, regular clothes. But Talmud Lama, that's why the pasuk says Upashat es begadav v'lavash begadim acherim. But some say it's on the word begadim twice. Upashat begadav v'lavash begadim acherim. More begadim. Makish begadim shalovish lebegadim shaposheit. The Gemara makes a hekish from the clothing that you wear to the clothing that you took off. Ma lahal and big day kodesh. The clothing you took off were big day kodesh. Af kan big day kodesh. So too, the new clothes you're putting on are also big day kodesh. Im kain matam lomer achirim. What does it mean achirim? What do you mean other clothes? What are you changing for if you're just putting on different four clothes? What are you changing for? So you know why you're changing? Cause b'chus in mehen, they were inferior clothes. Maybe they were a little worn out. Maybe they were a little cheaper. Because what you're doing something, you basically it's like taking out the garbage, taking out the deshen, and the Gemara is going to have the mashal that you'll see in a minute. Im kain, I'm sorry, Rabbi Elazar Omer, no, acherim v'hotzi, the acherim is going on the one who's taking out. What does that mean? Lema ala kahanim bali mumin, that even if a kohen is a balmum, it's shekasherim l'hotzi adeshen. This he's allowed to do. It's not a genuine avoda that's possible for a mum. This he's allowed to do. That's why it says acherim. We're referring to the other kahana, not the other clothes, the other kahana. That's his shita. Amar mar, acherim pechus in mehen. We have a brisa that supports the fact that it was cheaper clothes. Kitatanya de Rabbi Shmuel, the Tana, de Rabbi Shmuel, the Gadim Shalabash Ben Kedera, Larabo, in the clothes that you use to cook the food, Lo Yimzog Ben Kos Larabo. You don't serve the food. Right? The guy in the kitchen is not wearing a waiter's outfit. Right? He's wearing clothes that are going to get dirty when he's cooking. Then when the waiter comes out, he's dressed all fancy. So too, when you're doing the Trumas Hadashin, you don't wear good clothes. You wear inferior clothes. When you go to serve in the actual avoda, then you put on the better clothes. Same thing here. Amar Rish Lakish, kimachlokes bahotza, hachach machlokes baharama. Just like there's a machlokes, whether a balmum can serve as the can do the avoda for the bigger deshen, so too he had a machlokes whether or not they could do it every day. According to Rish Lakish, the balmum could do it every single day. For Rabbi Yochanan Amar, no, machlokes bahotza. The machlokes is only taking out on not every day. Adol baharama, but every day. Dibri akol avodahi. Everybody held that was a real avoda. Everybody held that was a genuine avoda that could only be done by someone who's not a mum, not a balmum. My time with the Rish Lakish. What's the source? What's the reason for Rish Lakish? Amalach. Ifel kedaitach avodahi. Because if you hold it's a genuine avoda, yeshalcha avoda shekshera b'shnei kelim. Is there anything that's mutter to do with only two clothings? Why? Because regarding this idea of taking out the Trumas Hadeshen whenever it got too full, the Torah there only mentions the two out of the four begadim, the pants and the shirt. It doesn't mention the belt and the hat. So you see, it's not a genuine avoda. It only mentions two. They ask Rish Lakish, if it doesn't mention the hat, and we know there's an avera to wear more begadim, so how did he cover his hair? How did he cover his head? How did he wear a yarmulke or a hat? It's not allowed. It only says two. That's a kasha. Because there's an itzer to wear more begadim. So, for Yochanan, no! Goli Rachmona b'ktonas u'b'chnasayim. The Torah does say only the pants and the shirt, but v'hu adin l'mitznefes v'avnei. So too, the hat and the belt. So too, a lot of dafka, only two. U'mayishnohani, so why were these two picked out? So the Gemara says, midobad. It says mido bad has to measure you. Mido kmido so. It has to fit you well. The clothes of the Kohen Gadol couldn't drag on the floor, and they couldn't be too short. They have to be perfect. Machnise bad l'kidatanya. And what about the pants? L'kidatanya. Minayin shlo yehi davar kodol l'mechnasayim. How do you know that the first thing you should put on in the morning is the pants? When the Kohen Gadol got dressed, he wore those things. So this was number one. Shenemar u'mechnase bad yilbosh al basaro. So that alludes to the fact that this was number one. For Rish Lakish, mido kimidaso, he agrees with that drasha. Why? Midaaf ki rachmana b'lashon mido. Because the Torah says a strange lashon mido. What is mido? Mido doesn't necessarily mean for your clothing. Rashi says, the Shura says, kutanto, the size of your ketones. That's what Rashi says, the Torah should have said. Since it said mido, he agrees that the pants have to fit. Shlo yehi davar kodol l'mechnasayim. How does he know nothing can come before the pants? Me'al b'saro nafka. He'll know that for the extra, me'al b'saro. So Rish Lakish doesn't genuinely use these two psukim to tell me these halachos, because he learns them out from ancillary sources. So therefore, they're left open to tell him that only two. When he did the avoda of taking out the big ashes, he would only wear two begadim. And Rabbi Yochanan will wear four. We'll stop here because now the Gemara is going to say, let's say it's a machlokas tanayim, and it's a whole long discussion. So just one point, this is the Taz, by the way, the Taz brings down from this Gemara when you're doing one avoda, you shouldn't wear another avoda, when you're doing one avoda, you can dress in a different way. He says, this is the makar of not taking a towel into the bathroom. When you're doing an avoda like that, don't have any kedusha with you. Just like when they would take the Trumas Hadeshen, they wore inferior clothes.